But as passing almost 10 more minutes than planned, so I would like to open the discussion session and collect the questions. If you have some questions to the speakers, then we'll proceed right now. Okay. One, two. Okay, those two. Okay, please.
Hello, my name is Christina Stahulak. I'm with the Council of Canadian Academies. My question is for Dr. Leshner about the AAAS. I've attended several sessions, and they've been fantastic, and I'm very happy that the meeting will be in Vancouver this year. I just wanted to comment about the AAAS being a vehicle to tackle global issues, and I think we all agree here that research, development, and innovation is the way to at least part of the equation to get there. That at AAAS meetings and at many of these global fora, scientists are very well represented there. But I wonder whether some thought has been given to including entrepreneurs and innovators specifically at these fora and having very targeted sessions to bridge some of the ideas that are being generated with some of the experience that some of these innovators and entrepreneurs have. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, perhaps we could collect another question and then...
Okay.
Yeah. My name is Watanabe, Vice President of Nagoya University, Japan. This is my first visit to this forum, so these 2 days I learned a lot, especially there are so many fora working hard to advance the researches and cultivate young talents, also the shared knowledge in public society, so that it was so impressive. But one thing, as a actual researchers, we haven't discussed one key issue. It's the price of journals. These days, all over the world, we are, major publishers selling the package of journals. It's a very hard business, problem for the universities, many research institutions. So that there are many, president, CEO, or director of many fora and things. So it's, I think, the time to take action to help the all research communities. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, someone can access freely to the all the journals, but some are not. So that it's not fair competition in research. So that we like to all researchers' talents freely access to the cutting edge. Mm-hmm. It's a fair competition of research, I guess. Thank you.
Thank you. As two questions are very different kind, so let's...
I'll just comment on the first.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's actually a great idea to bring in entrepreneurs. We have invited many, and they often are willing to come if they're, big speakers, like a plenary speaker. They don't particularly want to take the time to hang out, as we say in English, to just sort of be there. But it's an excellent idea to bring them together, so thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just to make a comment on one of the programs we do for the young people, what we make them do is to give to get 3 slides to present their research, and they can have people there who are entrepreneurial or business-wise or just to see how they can do it. So they have to, in 3 slides, say what they're doing, why it's useful, and how it could be commercialized. And it really changes their mindset. So I think that idea about involving entrepreneurs is really, really important. Because one of the things about our educational systems, if you start looking at them right around the world, and we've done this, all of the things that we're saying here, and it goes back to the point that the previous speaker made around researchers, our educational systems are not addressing often the key problems. We're still very, very traditional in the way we do things. And that's why these innovations are key.
Somebody wants to answer to the second question? I mean, the comments for the publishing. Yeah, journals. Okay. Well, I think we should consider that question, very important question. And this is the one kind of problem that we, all together, we can discuss later.
Okay, you repeat the question.
I mean, he mentioned about the role of journal, okay? And in recent, I mean, in the modern time, this publishing our the result of our research inside of the journal must have some different solution, like open access or so. Okay, well, please.
Well, there is no doubt that this is a very important issue, and it is always debated. I recall the last ESOF conferences, but also the AAAS conferences. This is an issue where people are speaking about, and there is lots of work ongoing. I know myself that in Europe there has been a pilot study co-funded by the European Commission over the past couple of years, which has studied different models of publishing, going from the old way, the gold open access, as they call it, well, Alan knows more about that, to other forms, just to find out how one can find in some way a reconciliation between the needs of scientists to have full access to data and to results of publication of scientific work, and on the other hand, the value which publishers provide always by adding some quality through peer review, etc., etc. Now, it's clear to everybody that the costs have risen out of control in several cases, and there, so something must be done. And these sort of pilots, I think, where one discusses several models. And I recall a model which has been adopted, I know, I've been told, in the particle physics community, which seems to work fairly well, where one has an agreement between the big publishers and the scientists about the way to organize a sort of open access. So I think this is a problem that is to a large extent soluble.
Do you want to just regarding the person who asked the first question, I'd actually be very interested if you could attend the next conference in Dublin, because I think that the business program of ESOF, in very many respects, does actually address the question of the innovators and the entrepreneurs. And about the second question, as Peter said, it was already it has been discussed at AAAS and at ESOF, and knowing of the scientific program for ESOF 2012, I know that this is an issue that will be discussed yet again in Dublin. So I can only encourage you to attend Dublin as well, and maybe discuss it with the speakers at that point. Thank you.
Okay. So let's collect the following questions. Okay.
Well, I thought it's very interesting to listen to the sharing experiences on different fora, and doing this in Budapest, the World Science Forum, is particularly stimulating. But I thought that we may want to raise some very important questions. As a chemist, I know that the rate-limiting step of any reactions determines, or the slowest part of a reaction determines the rate-limiting. What do we do as a global scientist in fora so that we do not leave the continent of Africa behind in what we do? I thought this is a question I don't want to answer myself, but maybe they might provide us with some of the things that we need to do to be able to be sure that when global civilization reaches its peak, we do not have one continent left behind. Thank you.
Do you want to?
Well, I'll just comment that I think the point you make is tremendously important, first of all. And there are a variety of activities that go on, as you know, from many different venues to try to make sure that the African science communities, as they emerge, become better welcomed into the global scientific community as actual partners. And we, AAAS, have had a variety of activities, particularly with East Africa, but other, I know many other organizations who are doing that, and I think your point is an important one. We don't want to leave any scientific community behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a chair of this session, I would like to make also the comments that I think from the next World Science Forum, the Africa representative must be included in this session. I will recommend that.
Okay. All right. And, yeah. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Just very quickly in response to that comment, you're obviously preaching to the choir for me. I think that the reality is that for a scientist in a developing country and throughout most of sub-Saharan Africa, as an example, especially the ones who have been able to forge connections with other scientists around the world, the real opportunities for them, if they want to advance in their science, is to leave the country. It's quite unfortunate, but it's true in many cases. In fact, if you leave Africa and you go to places in Central Europe, you go to places in Latin America, the same problem persists, and it's this. We may call it brain drain, and we may call it many different things. The fact is that I think that project, the way the bank has approached this and the way that other organizations have approached this is that, yes, you can continue to build up your educational capacity, and yes, you can continue to turn out actually really good engineers and scientists and PhDs, but the real key is making sure that they actually have employment, that positive things to do after they leave the university. And that is why I've been pushing my colleagues to actually focus on more on the private sector development aspects, so that there's an actual cycle for the scientists and engineers to actually have positive employment throughout the continent. And I think that there are some good stories. If you look at Ghana, I think if you look at Rwanda, obviously there's South Africa is a special case. And there are some other countries in Africa that I think, and they're all very unique. You know, to say Africa in general is not doing it the justice that it deserves. I mean, I think every country has something specific, but this is a problem that I think you need an entire science forum in order to dedicate it to. And we've always made sure to bring in African scientists and African engineers to all of our discussions to make sure that we're talking the right language, because we know that the problems there are unique.
Thank you. And okay. Could you make a comment?
First, a simple answer, but nevertheless, it shows that there is a tension in our part of the world. Next year at the ESOF in Dublin in July, there will be a special forum being devoted to African science with involvement of key people from Africa also, to see what we can do, what one can do in the world to have a stronger engagement with Africa and a stronger involvement of Africa. Now, in a more general way, I myself fairly heavily involved in programs of the World Bank in Africa to establish and improve the infrastructure for science, technology, and beginning also in innovation. And I'm struck by the possibilities which there are. And I think that in several countries you see the beginnings of efforts which will keep scientists also in Africa. It depends very much on whether there will be a follow-up with business. It depends very strongly on the willingness and the commitment of the governments of Africa to start investing themselves in science, which is a problem, because that's the only way in which you have a sustainable basis for building up a science community, an industrial community, which is keen on innovation and which will give a mutual interest between scientists, industry, and the government to keep people in Africa. There is one last remark I would like to make. I've been involved in the past, in the long time past, in Europe very much in data communication between researchers, between higher education. And this has always been a vital aspect. And I've been struck in Africa always that this is one of the key areas where investments needs to be done. And this conference only underlines that very much. What we have heard in the various sessions about the incentives which communication gives to people from old age to young age, to the very young age, to start working on collaborating, on thinking of new ideas, on inventing themselves new way to add value to communication. It shows that the infrastructure in terms of communication will be a key asset. And I would even say it is more important now, I've heard this conference again, to invest in that, because this is not so terribly expensive. And you know, in the past there was always a problem, certainly in the eastern part of Africa, that there was not the strong backbone connection to the rest of the world. That exists now. There are now undersea cables which are very good quality. They are not less than you find in all other parts in the world. So it's just a matter now of making the connection from these East Africans' undersea cables to the inland countries. And that, again, is not terribly expensive. It would easily be solvable by the European Commission if they would really have a strong program which would not just focus on coordination and on organizing conferences, but on real investments.
Thank you very much. Okay, I think we will collect two more questions. Okay, please.
Tracy Elliott from the Royal Society. I wondered if any of you wanted to pick up on Dr. Leshner's point about integrating your ideas and progressing agendas across the various global fora by more systematic coordination across your various fora, and how those might in turn cross-reference to what's going on in intergovernmental fora like the Rio Plus 20 summit next year. If there's any way of perhaps integrating some of your discussions with those sorts of meetings that are going on between our governments, and if there's any way of being more effective in that respect.
Okay, let's collect the second questions. Okay. Well,
Herman Winnick, Stanford University. I'd like to mention that the American Physical Society offers free online access to its journals to sub-Saharan Africa and Bangladesh. If you're interested, just go on aps.org webpage and type in the search bar journal program, and you can get information about that.
Thank you. This is a comment. I would ask whether you could answer to the first question.
I'm not very sure that I catch the questions precisely, but the point I understand is that the title of this session is Forum of the Global Fora and the Coordination and Collaboration among the various forum and conferences is clearly the necessary thing. And today's discussion clearly indicates the need of further enhancing the coordination, collaboration between the our.
Okay, I will make a comment on that issue at the end. Right, good. Well, before going on, perhaps Dr. Michalowski could answer to help.
Well, let me address this issue of possible coordination and possibly joint activities between groups that are community-based, bottom-up groups like AAAS, and government-based groups like the OECD, but also, for example, UNESCO. UNESCO is another example of an intergovernmental body. And I must say that even though this sounds like a great idea, it's very difficult. In practice, it's extremely difficult because these are two different worlds. And even though on a personal basis, of course, there are many, many contacts. And I was a AAAS fellow, science fellow in Washington. Okay, so AAAS is an organization that is very close, dear to me and close to me. But when I work for the governments, I have to respect the rules that apply to governments. So I think on a formal basis, it would be it would require a lot of thought, and you'd really have to persuade yourself that there was something useful that could result before you undertook such a project.
Well, your time is almost ending, and if somebody has a very important question to raise, then I would like to collect one more question. But if not, yeah, okay, why don't you make a comment? But in 1 minute.
If nobody has a question, just 1 minute, and if I would have had 11 minutes to give my presentation, this is what I would have said in the last minute. And I wanted just to say something about Hungary, because we're here. Yesterday, I met 50 young Hungarian entrepreneurs, and I went and spoke at their Kairos summit. And I thought that it was an interesting opportunity to see, you can kind of see at the most fundamental level, the purest opportunity for a country to grow, if you look at its young entrepreneurs, it was absolutely remarkable. And one thing that that makes it relevant to the Global Fora discussion is that these young entrepreneurs have completely abandoned the old model of entrepreneurship, which is to stay in your garage and keep your ideas to yourself and wait and wait and wait until you can find the kind of capital and the kind of support that you need and then get a patent and then hopefully your company will be a success. These guys have banded together at the earliest stage, prototype, are talking to each other. They're actually creating deal flow amongst each other. They brought in some venture capitalists and they're practicing their pitches. And for me, it was absolutely remarkable to see all of these young Hungarian entrepreneurs. The youngest one was 19 years old. He had already started 10 companies. I mean, for me, he started his first company at 12 years old. And there's 50 stories like this. So just saying that I think for Hungary, having that kind of resource here is absolutely remarkable. And us as the scientific and engineering and innovation community, anything we can do to support these, and they're all young scientists, they're all pursuing scientific engineering degrees, things like that. Anything that we can do to support these people, these are the ones who are actually going to help to grow our economies. And I just wanted to kind of share that story and say that I think there's a great story here in Hungary and we should look out for these folks.
Okay. Thank you. I would like to close this session, but I want to make one comment, whether we are good enough to face and to tackle the general issues that we are facing. For example, in order to solve the climate change issues, like climate change, I think we should act differently. I want to draw your attention that the developing countries is increasing the greenhouse gases. According to IEA projection, it is estimated that the emission from non-OECD countries will comprise 64% of the total. And in order to tackle with those problems, I think we have to organize ourselves. That's the reason why the last time I claimed that we need a kind of platform to solve these problems. So this is the reason why last year we founded one forum. This is called Seoul Science and Technology Forum. And we want to play the role to bridge between the developed country to the developing countries, how to disseminate our knowledge on these green technologies. So it is still young, but I think we should do more collaboration inside of our the scientific communities, and also I think that could be extended to organize ourselves inside of our global forums. The last question that I want to repeat is that we are the global forums, and we should ask to ourselves whether we are good enough. Thank you very much. I close this session.